Welcome and thank you for standing by. Your lines have been placed on a listen-only mode until the comment session. At that time, if you do have a comment, you may press star one. Today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. And now I'll turn the call over to Linda Belton. You may begin.
Good afternoon. My name is Linda Belton, and I'm National Travel Liaison for NOAA in the Office of Legislative and Intergovernmental Affairs. And thank you for joining us today. I'd like to give you information on how the meeting is being recorded and how you may send us comments today. If you are joining by phone, all participants need to join by phone if you want to submit an audio comment. That toll-free number is 888-455-9725. The participant code is 909-6248. Participants are in a listen-only mode during the presentation, and verbal comments will be accepted after the presentation. And again, as I like to state, this meeting is being recorded. To provide a comment after the presentation, on the phone, the Verizon operator will provide directions to press star one so it is clear you have a comment. The Verizon operator will call on you by name when it is your turn, and your microphone will be unmuted so you can speak. Verbal comments will be attributed to the speaker on the recording, so please introduce yourself with your name and your tribal affiliation. Written comments should be submitted via email to infrastructure.tribal@noaa.gov. And now I'd like to turn you over to our moderator, our Senior Advisor for Tribal Affairs, Dr. Zach Penny. Thank you.
Asalaam. Good afternoon for everybody who's on the Pacific, Mountain, Central, and Eastern time zones, and happy late morning to anybody that's in Alaska. I'm Zach Penny, and I'm a Senior Advisor to Dr. Spinrad, Undersecretary of NOAA. I've been with NOAA for a couple of weeks, and I'm going to be moderating this today. But to get us started off in the good way, we want to go ahead and start with a song that's going to be offered to us from Lance Fisher and Giovanna Gross. Lance Fisher is from the Northern Cheyenne Nation of Montana, and Giovanna is from the Oglala Lakota Nation, but she's also of Northern Peruvian descent. So we appreciate them opening this up for us today. Giovanna and Lance sing to keep their languages alive, to inspire youth, and to celebrate life. So thank you, Lance and Giovanna, for being with us today, and the floor is yours.
Hello, good afternoon. I just wanted to introduce myself formally in my language out of respect for everybody on the call. And so, Hamata Kepi, Chante Waste, and Apechus Apixto, Giovanna Grossi Machia Pixto, Peruvian Aug, Otahemacha, and Awayaki Naita Coronado Echiapna, Ate Awayaki Andrew Gross Echiapi. What I just said was, hello, my relatives. I shake your hand with a good heart. I just introduced my name and my parents' name so that everybody knows who I am. My family comes from the Medicine Root District of Pine Ridge Reservation and also the province of Lambayeque, Peru. And we are just going to sing a children's song. We just wanted to sing this prayer song just so that this session could start off in a good way. And here is Lance Fisher, who is also going to introduce himself in his language.
Piveshiv, Lance Fisher, Naheshive, Naheo Nanako, Natsutave, Natsista, Nehoe, Motalas, Na Nakoe, Hotneheo Tehe, Heshiveheyo. Good day, my name is Lance Fisher. I am from the Northern Cheyenne tribe. My Cheyenne name translates to medicine bear, and like Giovanna said, we are going to offer a prayer song in Lakota dedicated to the children. Ate! Ate, ate, name, checho, yom. Ate, ate, name, checho, yom. Name, checho, hai, yoy. Wakaja, o ta, nuni, mani, wani, pi. Ate, ate, name, checho, yom. Ate, ate, name checho, name checho, hai,
Lance and Giovanna. So to get started today, I just wanted to offer some opening comments as we jump into the presentations from some folks that are going to help us kind of move along in terms of the funding that's being offered to the infrastructure bill. But I was looking at the attendee list, and there's a lot of familiar names on there, so it's good to see those names. But for those that don't know me, I'm Dr. Zach Penny, and I'm actually a relatively new senior advisor to NOAA. And as I said earlier, my portfolio focuses on fisheries and tribal engagement. I'm Nimipu, an Nez Perce tribal member. I grew up in Idaho and just started that appointment this month. Before joining NOAA, I worked for the Columbia Intertribal Fish Commission for 7 years. Matter of fact, up to this point, I've pretty much only worked for tribes or tribal commissions for most of my career. And it was really only a couple of weeks ago that I was still sitting on the tribal side of the table. So it's been a bit of a switch. So my role today is to moderate this listening session on three provisions within the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act. Some people also refer to it as the EJA bill. Specifically, today's conversation should be focused on funding available or carved out for tribes, and that'll be related to three buckets: fish passage, the Pacific Salmon Coastal Recovery Fund, and regional ocean partnerships. We're very early in the process, so it was important for NOAA to get tribal input to inform how NOAA gets these funds to tribes. So, you know, as we get going along, a couple things to understand. Number one is this is a session for NOAA to listen to the tribes. You know, today, Dr. Spinrad and team will be in listening mode to hear your comments and suggestions about those three provisions within that bill. Written comments are also welcome, and Linda provided that email for you at the start of this, and we'll also provide at the end so you can see that. And we will provide contact for written comments later in the agenda. Number two, please treat today as the first opportunity to provide comments to NOAA, not the last. The dialogue and availability of these three buckets of funding will span over the next 5 years, so about 2022 to 2027. And then number three, please be respectful about speaking time. There are multiple tribes on today's call, and we want to make sure everyone has a chance to speak. And again, we're extremely early in this process, so there will be time for later follow-ups with NOAA if that's desired. So we've already gone through the welcome and the prayer in my opening remarks. The presentation today will cover those three provisions, which is Fish Passage, Pacific Salmon Coastal Recovery Fund, Regional Ocean Partnerships, and Tribal Input. But before we get to those presentations, I do want to hand this over to Dr. Spinrad, who is the Undersecretary of Commerce for Oceans and Atmosphere and the NOAA Administrator. Dr. Spinrad is responsible for the strategic direction and oversight of the agency and has over 12,000 employees, including developing NOAA's portfolio of products and services to address the climate crisis, enhancing environmental sustainability, and fostering economic development and creating a more just, equitable, diverse, and inclusive NOAA workforce. So with that, Dr. Spinrad, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Zach. Let me start by welcoming you. It's great to have you on board introduce myself briefly. So I am the 11th NOAA Administrator. I moved back to D.C. from my home in Central Oregon after I was confirmed in June. This is actually my fourth job at NOAA. I was also headed up NOAA Research and was the head of the National Ocean Service for quite a few years. So I'd like to think I know NOAA pretty well. And I want to start also by thanking you all for taking time to join us today. We do understand that consulting with the federally recognized tribes is a critical aspect of the sound and productive relationship between the U.S. and sovereign Indian tribal governments. Tribal nations are the original stewards of our lands and waters, and have been the most effective managers and protectors of biodiversity, and it's an honor and a privilege to hear from you. As you heard Zach indicate, back in November, President Biden signed the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act, also known by its acronym EIJA, which provides more than $13 billion for direct investments in tribal communities across the country. This EIJA funding provides a really unique opportunity to advance NOAA's critical mission, from weather and climate services to managing fisheries and marine protected areas and coastal management in general. NOAA's goal is to ensure these funds balance stewardship and economic opportunity while implementing the work that needs to be done. EIJA funding is a vital component in advancing the work that our nation and the world need to do to become climate ready. And in fact, NOAA's Climate Ready Nation initiative is in a formative stage right now, with engagement underway across NOAA and with our partners. And this initiative, the Climate Ready Nation initiative, is going to target our current investments like EIJA, as well as future ones, to address things like climate risks in key impact areas, including floods, fire, drought, extreme heat, and also to build resilience. Today, we are taking a step in engaging interested tribes in a sustained dialogue about this funding, and I can't overstate that. This is intended to be a sustained dialogue. Right now, we are seeking your input to inform some of the early planning decisions around three specific provisions of the Infrastructure Act related to NOAA programs. Those would be Fish Passage, Pacific Coast Salmon Recovery Fund, and the Regional Ocean Partnerships. We look forward to additional opportunities to consult, partner, and engage with you in the weeks, months, and years to come on these opportunities, as well as other relevant NOAA actions. Please keep in mind today, we will largely be listening to your input rather than responding to it. We intend to release a summary of the comments we receive while also incorporating them into the execution of the infrastructure provisions. So now, I do look forward to hearing from the tribal representatives that have joined us today. I'm going to throw it back to Dr. Penny to introduce our other panelists and move on to our comment period. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Sinrad. So, next portion, we're going to go ahead and have Carrie Selberg-Robinson, who's the Director of NOAA Fisheries Office and Habitat Conservation, provide an overview of the fish passage provision, but she will be followed by Barry Somm, who will provide an overview of Pacific Salmon Coastal Recovery Fund, and then Keelan Kuipers, who will provide it on the Regional Ocean Partnerships. So I'm now handing this off to Carrie, so go for it. The floor is yours.
Thank you, Zach. Hello, everybody. It's a pleasure to be with you today. As Zach said, my name is Carrie Selberg-Robinson. I'm the Director of the Office of Habitat Conservation. And I want to talk to you a little bit about the fish passage provision of the infrastructure bill. So in this provision, it provides funding to support fish passage through the removal of dams and other in-stream barriers, to help protect and restore habitats that sustain fisheries, recover protected species, and maintain resilient ecosystems and communities. Up to 15% of the funding will be reserved for tribes and provided through a competitive grant process under our community-based restoration program. Tribes are also, of course, eligible to apply, compete in the grant processes for the broader fish passage funding as well. There are a couple of questions that we are seeking your input on today. First, how can NOAA align this fish passage funding with tribal priorities and needs? And second, NOAA will use a grant mechanism that results in cooperative agreements to allocate these funds. And we are seeking your input on your recommendations for how NOAA can award these funds to engage with and support tribes, including funding going directly to tribes and funding going to other tribal serving or partner organizations. With that, I will pass it off to Barry.
And good morning, good afternoon, everybody. It's good to see, like Zach said, a lot of familiar faces or names on the screen today, as well as some new tribal folks' engagement. I think that's one of the benefits of those programs is the increased tribal engagement that can occur through this funding. I'm going to talk to you about the Pacific Coastal Salmon Recovery Fund. So it's been a program that's been around for a while. I'm going to cover the who and the what it's for, and then also outline a few questions. So the who, so the Pacific Coastal Salmon Recovery Fund is open to the West Coast states and tribes. So any of the tribal entities in the states around the states of California, Oregon, Washington, Idaho, and Alaska. And it's also open to tribal commissions or consortia as well as part of that. It's designed to fund activities that protect, conserve, and restore salmon and steelhead populations and their habitat. And there's three specific activities that are included within the PCSRF program. The first is those actions that are designed to recover Pacific salmon and steelhead listed under the Endangered Species Act or identified by a state at risk to be so listed. The second component is really in support of actions that support Pacific salmon and steelhead activities that are also important to tribal treaty and trust fishing opportunities and native subsistence fishing. And the third component is really just the basic piece of conserving Pacific salmon and steelhead habitat. So there are four questions related to the new infrastructure funding that's available that we're interested in receiving input today. The first is, are there modifications to the existing program that are needed to increase the accessibility of these funds for tribes or the tribal consortiums or commissions? The second is, should these funds have a different priorities than the pre-existing Pacific Coastal Salmon Recovery Fund program? For example, prioritizing these funds for projects of different scale than the historic program, or different ways to address limiting factors for Pacific salmon. The third question is, how can the Pacific Coastal Salmon Recovery Fund grant program further support the tribes and the tribal commissions or consortia on Pacific salmon steelhead and recovery efforts? And then lastly, are there other ways to determine the allocation of funds amongst the tribes and the tribal commissions to achieve the desired outcomes for Pacific salmon? Other ways to run the program that are actually better for the tribes moving forward? So with that, Pacific Coastal Salmon Recovery, I will turn it over to Keelan, who will cover the other piece.
Great. Thank you, Barry. Good morning and good afternoon, everyone. Thanks so much for joining us today. I'm Keelan Kuipers. I'm the Deputy Director of the Office for Coastal Management in the National Ocean Service, and I'm going to speak with you about the Regional Ocean Partnerships funding that's included in the infrastructure bill, a bit of a background on it, and then the questions that we are asking you to provide comments on. So first, a little bit about Regional Ocean Partnerships. Within the infrastructure bill, there's $56 million which will enhance these partnerships. These are voluntary, multi-state, typically governor-established forums that identify shared priorities and take action on a diversity of ocean and coastal issues important within their geographies. These are longstanding partnerships that provide coordination and collaboration across states, tribes, and federal agencies on regional coastal and ocean issues. And NOAA has provided a variety of support for them over the years. With this funding, we do intend to support two distinct activities each year. So first, for established regional ocean partnerships, to coordinate the interstate and intertribal management of ocean and coastal resources, and then second, to enhance associated sharing and integration of federal and non-federal data in the regions. So we do have four questions that we are asking you to think about and provide comment on if you desire. The first is, has your tribe identified coastal and ocean management issues and priorities? Have you discussed those issues and priorities with other tribes in the region? The second question is, does your tribe work in coordination with the four established regional ocean partnerships and/or the five integrated ocean observing system regional associations? If so, what works well and what aspects need improvement? The third question is, what types of activities related to ocean resource management priorities or to enhancing sharing of ocean data and knowledge, do you anticipate these funds will help support? And then the last question is, what are your recommendations for how NOAA awards these funds to engage with and support tribes, including funding going directly to tribes or other tribal serving or partner organizations? Again, thank you for joining us today. And with that, I'm going to turn it back over to Zach.
Thank you, Keelan. Thank you, Barry. And thank you, Carrie. So I'm looking at my clock here. It's 12:54 Pacific time. So it's almost noon in Alaska, and it is almost, 4 p.m. Eastern time. So we still have about an hour and a half. for tribal comments. So before we begin that, I did want to put out these sort of three broad framing questions for the discussion today. And the first one of these is, you know, what examples do you have of processes that, you know, facilitate access to federal funding or missteps from other programs that provide important lessons? We'd like to hear that from you. What additional information or support would be most helpful to your tribe or tribal commission in accessing these NOAA funds? And then last but not least is, what other requests, questions, or feedback do you have for NOAA at this stage? So those are the framing questions we wanted to put out in front of you. At any time during today's comment section, you want us to go back to any of the provisions that Carrie and Barry and Keelan covered, we can go ahead and do that. For those that are not familiar with WebEx, today's, you know, I'm going to be here to be the moderator and help folks out, but remember you have to push *1. We'll get you in the queue to provide your comment. And I'll be sort of acting like a radio DJ and, you know, asking, once we get through a comment, asking who the next one is, and our technical expertise, Shirley, will be the one helping us queue that up. So with all that said, we'll have Barry and Keelan and Carrie here to answer specific questions, if there are any, about these various funding provisions, and if there's something broader, you know, we'll do the best among all of us to address it. And again, this is the first of hopefully, you know, many different times we'll have a chance to discuss this. So with that, I think it's time to open this up for tribal comments. So Shirley, do we have any folks in the queue?
At this time, I'm showing no one in the queue. And again, if you do have a comment, just press *1. Again, *1. And one moment, please.
So the call lines are open. So for any comments, yeah, do please press *1. And yeah, we're here.
At this time, I'm showing no comments.
Okay, well, I'm going to stare awkwardly at the screen until we do get a comment. So Shirley, just let me know when somebody gets in the queue.
I will do. Thank you.
I guess I could go to the attendee list and start asking people.
We do have a question that came in, and it's from G.I. James. Your line is open. You may ask your comment.
Good morning, or good afternoon. I put stuff in the chat, I guess. The frustration, and Barry's heard it many times from me, and I appreciate his comments to Lisa that she's a much nicer version of me. I've been at this for so long that my patience level isn't very high, so I try to be as nice as I can be to stress that this system isn't working for us. And asking us to participate into a system that doesn't function well for its intended outcome is a bit frustrating. There needs to be some a better way of getting funding to tribes to not compete. We're all starving here, and you're asking us to compete for food instead of addressing the base needs of the tribes. And, EPA has a good, well, at least one that's working that doesn't provide all the money we need, but actually allows us to participate. It gives us base funding to hire people to actually do some of the work. We're asking, we don't have enough staff to go around to address all of the issues, so we have to rob from our existing staff that are doing more than full-time work to apply for competitive grants to address crisis issues. And as much as that meets the needs of the bureaucracy of how to divvy up money, it isn't functioning for getting to fish recovery. And that's the bottom line here, is that we need fish for our people. And this isn't an exercise in doing the best we can with what we've got. This is about figuring out what actually needs to be done, not what we can or are willing to do. So there has never been a complete plan laid out for what actually needs to be done. Whether they fit, whether these projects and proposals and, is there a whole lot of people in the queue? I don't want to take all the time, but there has to be a better process to actually get to success, not to get to meeting the needs of the funding mechanism, but actually accomplishing the outcome. And this one doesn't function. It may work for the bureaucracy, but it isn't working, as Barry has admitted, that what we're doing isn't working. So something has to change fundamentally here if we're going to get to addressing these problems and not just spending the money. So thank you.
Thank you. And are you ready for the next comment?
Yes.
Thank you. And that comes from Kelly Coates. Your line is open.
Hi, this is Kelly. Can you hear me okay? Great, thank you. Hi, I'm Kelly Coates. I'm the Water and Environmental Resources Program Manager for the Cow Creek Band of Umpqua Tribe of Indians. And I just have a question regarding the Pacific Coast Salmon Recovery Fund. How will these funds impact this year's PCSRF grant offering, because proposals are due March 21st for this. So a lot of us are already working on our proposals now.
Go ahead, Barry.
Yeah, Zach, I can take that one, and good to hear you, Kelly. So for this year's, the input we're taking today will largely be used to help influence the future of the program moving forward. We do know that the existing base PCSRF funding process is moving forward right now through March. So most of the input today in terms of prioritization, processes and other things we'll be using as we move that forward in the future at this point.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
Can I just ask a follow-up to that really quick? Will there be additional funding from the infrastructure package that will go toward this year's offering, or will this infrastructure funding start next year?
Yeah, thanks, Kelly. And I don't know if you are aware, but the spend plans are still going through the approval process for the infrastructure funds. So some of that is still undetermined at this time.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Our next comment comes from Leonard Forsman. Your line is open.
Hi, I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to say a few words. I was just wondering, I guess it's a question about the funding requirements or restrictions. We have a lot of projects that are restoration oriented, and I was just wondering if we can use the money for restoration. And also, there are some projects that have been vetted with local governments and that we kind of been focused on addressing or approaching I guess the word would be framing it up for the EPA's Nearshore Estuary Program or something like the NEP money. And I'm just wondering if you feel like this money might be a fit for some of those same projects, but there's more money coming into that, but we could use more funding for some of these projects for restoration, which is a longer term approach. There's a lot more short-term approaches that are needed as well, regarding hatchery funding, et cetera. So just kind of thinking about the places that this funding might be appropriate or available for those needs.
Hey, yeah, thanks. Carrie, do you want to take the first crack at this one?
I do. The first part of your question, for the fish passage funding, yes, we would be looking to fund habitat restoration projects that are related to fish passage. It would be difficult for me to speak to specific projects right now, but there would be a funding opportunity with a lot more details about the specific kinds of projects that we're looking for. And these listening sessions are going to help us craft that funding opportunity. But yes, overall restoration projects that focus on fish passage would be the kinds of projects we would be funding out of this provision.
Thank you. Our next comment then comes from Tom Bilodeau. Your line is open.
Thank you. Can you guys hear me okay?
We can.
This is Tom Bilodeau with the Coeur d'Alene Tribe, an Adjurum's program lead. And if you're not aware, the Coeur d'Alene Tribe are a salmon people, although they haven't seen salmon into their traditional territories in almost a century due to the construction of Grand Coulee Dam. Traditionally, we haven't been able to access a lot of these funds to support projects for salmon reintroduction because we have no salmon. So I guess my question is for probably both Ms. Robinson and Mr. Tom on whether or not the FIS passage funding can be applied for possible fish passage reintroduction projects at those two federal projects, Chief Joseph Dam and Grand Coulee Dam, or whether or not that the PACSURF money would better be applicable for that.
Zach, maybe I'll jump in, and thanks, Tom, for that question. I think that issue is like exactly the kinds of things we're looking for input on in terms of the types of projects that the tribes would like to see funded with the programs. I think the Fish Passage is a new program, so I think there's a lot to be determined in terms of eligible uses or not in working through that. And then I will just recognize the Pacific Coastal Salmon Recovery Fund does allow for a pretty wide a range of activities that are focused on Pacific salmon and conservation, whether that's for ESA listed stocks or those that are important for tribal treaty or trust responsibility in fishing. So it is a pretty wide open in terms of eligible activities that are potential there. But thanks for the input. And I think if you provide more input on the types of work, that might help actually as they're developing the program criteria for some of these pieces.
Yeah, I guess I can expand on it a little bit. The Coeur d'Alene Tribe, along with the Upper Columbia United Tribes, have put together a reintroduction project. It's actually in line with the Power Council's phased approach for reintroduction up into the Upper Columbia Basin. And we're moving into some pilot projects and research projects on survival through those dams and into the Upper Columbia, and what the potential for getting funding for those type of projects would be, I guess, more specifically, is what I would be interested in. And Barry, we have been working with Michael Tehan to some degree to talk about this, and you're probably somewhat aware of it, and hopefully to just keep it on the radar and look for those proposals coming down the pipeline. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Tom.
Thank you. Our next comment comes from Paul Ward. Your line is open.
Hey, good afternoon. Thank you for this opportunity. I think the experience of the Accord partners and having a foreseeable future of funding at certain levels allows you to expedite or to more expeditiously implement habitat projects. And I think originally we were looking at larger scale projects taking 18 months from concept to implementation. And I don't know if it's a fact, but IIJA funding would possibly give you that flexibility in setting out set asides for tribes that they then would not necessarily have to compete for on a project by project basis, but be able to have that kind of horizon timeline to implement larger scale projects. That's the only comment I have. Just that this provides for that creativity. Thank you.
Thanks, Paul.
Thank you. The next comment comes from Stan Bandy Wettering. Your line is open.
Excuse me, having problems with my phone. I just entered my comment in the chat so I can keep that on the record. And Barry, good to see your face. Long time no see. Thank you.
Thank you. Again, if you have a comment, press star 1. Our next comment comes from Jennifer Hagen. Your line is open.
Good afternoon. This is Jennifer Hagen with the Quileute Tribe. I also entered my question in the chat. It's a little challenging here the way you guys have set this up, where we're kind of isolated and can't see who else on the call or what other people are putting in the chat. I just wanted to make that note. So I was wondering what is contained in the existing spend plan for year 1, and also how will today's comments from the tribes be treated and incorporated into the implementation for years 2 through 5?
I'm sorry, I missed. Was that specific to any of the provisions, or is that just more of a broad comment? I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's a little bit broad. I have some more specifics that I'd like to ask later, but we are under the understanding that year 1 funding has an associated spend plan, yet it hasn't been shared with us what the spend plan is. So I was wondering if you could elaborate on what specifics are in that year 1 spend plan. And then the second part was, following today's input from the tribes, where do you see the information going as far as implementing the years 2 through 5 of this funding?
So I just got word this morning that I believe the spend plans might have just gone to Congress. I don't have confirmation myself about that. So step 1 was delivering those spend plans to Congress, and then we're going to be waiting to hear back from them to make sure that what the agency has outlined is something that they're comfortable with. And I think my understanding of those next steps will be, once we hear back from Congress that they're comfortable with what we've outlined, we can share those more broadly. But I think step 1 was making sure that we put forward a plan that was in line with their intent. Dr. Spinrad, I saw you give a thumbs up on that. I don't know if you want to add anything.
Yeah, thanks, Carrie. Just will add that, the spend plans made it through the Office of Management and Budget after a lot of back and forth, and did go up on the Hill just in the last day. I want to make sure people understand, these spend plans do not indicate at a project level where we are spending the money. So in response, Jennifer, to your question, the spend plan doesn't say X dollars will go to this project, Y dollars will go to that project. Instead, they define what the objectives are with a little bit more specificity than what the law called out in those particular provisions, the PACSER provision, for example. And so it's our intent to have the announcements out as soon as possible once the spend plans are ready to go. So please realize these are hardly baked in terms of where the resources are going. There are specific indications of how much will be going to tribes in each of these three provisions that we've been talking about here today. And I would add, you had asked about affecting the out years. The specific reason why we're doing these consultations is so that we can frame the out year plans in close coordination based on what we're hearing in these consultations.
Thank you. That's good to hear. Can I ask another question, or do I need to get back in the queue? I joined late, so I'm not sure what the rules are, the road are.
Go for it.
Okay. Yeah. So specific to the regional ocean partnerships, I'm not sure how you are thinking about the prioritizing where these funds go. I think that there should be some more interaction specific to that one regarding the West Coast Ocean Alliance. We've been working hard for many years between the tribes and the states and the feds to keep that planning body moving forward. We've done a lot of work, and so tribes are fairly well engaged with that. There's quite a few that aren't as well, but... So I'm just curious as to when down the road you think that you might be able to share how you're prioritizing the funds specific to the regional ocean partnerships and the IUS regional associations.
Keelan.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you, Zach. Yes, so I expect we'll be able to do that a little bit later this spring. Once we take the feedback and comments that we're receiving through this process, and then also to from the Hill Congress on their review of the spend plan for this year. But thank you. That is an important issue for us to consider and share as so quickly as we can.
You bet, because I know that all regions are not created equal, and there's some regions that don't even have regional planning bodies, and many that do not even have tribes engaged. And so I'm just, selfishly hoping to keep our West Coast regional planning body moving with the momentum it has. And I'd also suggest that consideration be given for the different roles that data portals for regional associations or regional planning bodies are, and what the role is of the IUS regional associations data platform. They're serving two different needs. And so I want to make sure that just because we have a fairly well-advanced regional ocean planning body, our interaction and our need for that IUS regional association receiving funds to keep going on the good work they're doing as well is very important. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you. We'll be sure to follow up.
Thank you. Again, press star one if you have a comment. Our next comment comes from Laura Pevin. Your line is open.
Hello, can you hear me? Oh, hello? Can someone put a thumbs up if you can hear me? Sorry.
Yep, no, we can hear you just fine.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Sorry, let me look for my question. So I'm a new fisheries biologist for a small tribal government in Alaska. And I'm just kind of getting my feet under me, but there are some culverts that we'd like to replace. So I guess this question is more specifically for Ms. Robinson. We are partners with a National Fish Habitat Partnership for the Mat-Su Borough. And I'm wondering, in those two questions, the second one, like, what partners can we support? Is there any indication from you? So we participate in that partnership, and since it's kind of, NOAA EPA related, how best can we partner with them in making fish passage a priority in our area, because there's also a 2000, a little bit of background, there's a 2016 report from our local U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service regional office that prioritized fish passage based off the number of miles upstream. So it seems like we can just throw this funding at that because it's prioritized on the number of miles upstream that we'd have. So how best would you recommend that, like, I and the tribe kind of push that process?
That's exactly the kind of feedback that we're looking for today. So I think highlighting that for us as a way to prioritize work, as a way to fund work, hearing that kind of feedback that you would like that to be a part of the funding opportunity would be helpful comments for us to get. So I appreciate you providing them today. I would encourage you to provide those in written feedback. We always like to fund work that some sort of regional body or group of people have come together and prioritized already. So I think the NIFHAP example that you provided is a good one for things like that.
Awesome. Sounds good. Well, I will try to put that into words and make a letter by March 22nd, I want to say. But yeah, it seems like we cooperate with so many other groups on this sort of stuff, and it seems like it would just be a relatively easy way to assign funding if the list was already there for fish passage. And I'm sure that a lot of municipalities and I think the Department of Transportation for Alaska also has like a list of fish passage culverts that are just like on a rank of, you know, terrible to okay. And anyway, I appreciate your feedback and thank you very much.
Thank you. Shirley, before we move on to the next caller, if there is one, I just wanted to interject real quick that I'm also having trouble finding the chat that people are putting in there. So, but I was informed that if you have entered something into the chat, we do have somebody on the team that's compiling them. So they are part of the record. But if you do feel really important to have it said during this meeting, go ahead and press star one. So I just wanted to make sure we said that. So go ahead.
Thank you. Our next comment comes from Dr. Michelle. Your line is open.
Are you there, DR?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
I can.
Cool. Appreciate the opportunity to share. It's more my concerns or thoughts, I guess, just kind of some comments on process and appreciate some of the comments about, you're throwing some money out there for the tribes to compete over and to prioritize projects when we need to be looking more at this saving the salmon as a whole. We've got the Pacific Coastal Salmon Recovery Board, which, you know, basically is kind of prioritized, or seems like a lot of the funding goes downriver. Salmon Recovery Board, seems like that process kind of stops at the base of Chief Joe. And just some general comments about if we're truly going to save the salmon, we need to be able to integrate and put these projects together up and down the river that's going to, that are going to help in those recovery efforts. It's like we've got the river divided up into sections still, and we're trying to fix the lower river, you know, the middle river, the upper river, when we need to be looking at the river, the system as a whole. We've got a lot of habitat above Chief Joe and Grand Coulee. We've got our phase two plan out there that talks about how we can move that forward. But again, we're being thrown in this bigger pot to compete with funding and with efforts downriver that have impacts and potentially help save the salmon. But until we look at the system more as a whole, we're going to continue to struggle with saving the salmon, saving the orcas, wherever else those issues may be downriver. I think a lot of the solutions are looking at those waters and those habitats above Chief Joe and Grand Coulee. So just some comments. Thank you.
Thanks, DR.
Thank you. Our next comment comes from Gerald James. Your line is open.
Yeah, I couldn't have said that better myself. That was really good. There is no plan. There's a bunch of projects. And the funding mechanism doesn't provide for that. And if we're going to actually be accountable for getting to recovery, there has to be a recovery plan, not a bunch of projects that meet somebody's criteria who set that up. Obviously, in year one, you guys have set that up. So where was the consultation to help guide where year one's going? You're having it between you guys and OMB. It was the tribes that fought for this set-aside, and we're not even included. So I'm concerned that we're going to go down the track where things have been set up for year one, and now they have to go to year two because you've funded something to start with, and now you got to continue with it. So because we don't have a collective plan, each tribe, each river system has projects. Some tribes have been able to put together a comprehensive plan. Most tribes have not. And collectively, we do not have. I mean, we're acting like we're all in silos when at least half of us in Puget Sound are dependent on other tribes' success. For Lummi, we're not fishing in any of our UNA because all these resources are in disaster. But we're not included in any of those other plans. We're not part of the outcome. So there has to be a much broader plan that includes everything on what we're going to do. And I put in the chat, if the funding isn't going to be adequate to recover everything, then prioritization of on how we're going to recover something needs to be done. Because we can't continue spending money everywhere, including everybody, if we're going to have some success somewhere and prove that we can actually get to recovery, because it's a fallacy right now. There's several of our systems that are never going to recover natural habitat. It's already been paved over. So I'm really concerned that there's nobody doing the comprehensive plan saying, yeah, go ahead in the NFSAC and apply for a grant that meets all the criteria, but isn't going to actually get us to recovery, because that isn't going to happen in any of our lifetime. So we need a different solution than others. And I imagine that's the same with every other system. So I'm concerned that we don't have the brain trust working to figure out, oh, geez, are we going to remove the city of Seattle? Yeah, that isn't going to happen. But the structure we've got anticipates that, yeah, you're going to. You know that we're going to recover natural producing stocks in those systems, whether it be the Lake Washington cedar or Duwamish green or white or Nooksack or still Duwamish. There's got to be a much better scientific reality put to whether these plans or these projects are actually going to accomplish recovery. And there's got to be a hypothesis somewhere, but not just a project hypothesis, but a comprehensive one. So thanks.
Okay.
Thank you. Again, if you would like to ask or make a comment, please press star 1. Thank you. Our next comment comes from Nicole Lexon. Your line is open.
Hi, my name is Nicole Lexon. I work for the Confederate Tribes of Warm Springs. We're on the John Day River on a little satellite office. I just had a general question about the fish passage funding. I was wondering what the specific criteria, and you may not know that right now, but we work a lot with like small landowners on their irrigation diversions, and then we also do bigger projects. So I didn't know if that would include such small projects or if it was just for like large scale on like main John Day or Columbia or other systems.
Zach, I'll jump in if that's okay.
Yep.
So we are still very much working on our criteria. So feedback from you on what you would hope to see and for funding levels and size of projects and things like that would be helpful to us as we develop the program.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, those are things that I would definitely be interested in just because we do, you know, work at a juvenile level where there's, you know, so many irrigators in our basin that are completely stopping out passage. So that's definitely something we'd be interested in.
I appreciate that comment. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, Zach, this is Barry. And maybe just to add to that, because your comment brings up a good one. Just wanted to re-highlight. So one, in terms of the funding and the purpose of this session today is to get input on what kind of projects you'd like to see happen, the prioritization process you would like to see happen, any other process improvements. And the reality is the funding opportunities for these programs have not went out. And I think that's the piece that they're wide open for year one. And so there is time for input, whether it's year one or years 2 through 5, to help shape. And that's the exact purpose. So if you have comments on things you would like to see or processes you'd like to see, please let us know today or get us those in writing so we can help shape the programs going forward.
Thanks for that, Barry. Shirley, do we have anybody else in the queue?
Thank you. Yep. Our next comment comes from Karen Gillis. Your line is open.
Good afternoon. My name is Karen Gillis. I am the executive director of Bering Sea Fishermen's Association and speaking to you through a memorandum of understanding that we have with 118 tribes served by the Association of Village Council Presidents, Coeric Incorporated, Tanana Chiefs Conference. These entities serve the Arctic, Yukon, and Kuskokwim regions of Alaska, where Pacific salmon are profoundly important. And I'm going to set a small stage here because Alaska has what we believe is a kind of a chronic problem with the current program. So our involvement, and let me back up one quick step. I am living and working on the unceded lands of the Dena Aina people, and I thank them for their past, present, and future stewardship of this land. So our involvement with PCSRF began in 2002 when our entities formed through a memorandum of understanding between my organization, the three organizations I mentioned, the State of Alaska, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and NOAA Fisheries. And we are dealing with an accelerating collapse of our salmon populations, which directly threatens the food security, cultural and spiritual well-being, and subsistence economies of tribal people and communities in this region. Our tribes have lived and stewarded this ecosystem for millennia, and the culture is inextricably linked to the health and abundance of salmon. We think that one of the primary problems with the current program, which casts a shadow over new funds, we believe, is that it's focused almost solely on habitat restoration for ESA stocks, which is effectively a lock on the vast majority of these funds. I appreciate that Barry put up the three priorities on the screen earlier, which we work very hard to address within our application every year. But there is no effective way, well, let me say too, priority number one specifies that, well, I should say 1B specifies that PCSRF funds are awarded for the necessary exercise of tribal treaty fishing rights or native subsistence fishing. And seeing that language under priority one indicates to us, and we've had this argument and gone back and forth with folks over the years on this issue, that the populations in the Arctic, Yukon, and Kuskokwim regions fall under priority one, except for the fact that PCSRF allows for a very narrow definition to what factors limiting the productivity of these populations are. In Alaska, and in specifically the Arctic, Yukon, and Kuskokwim regions, we're not living with culvert problems and passage issues. And PACSRF, or PCSRF, I'll go back and forth probably from saying PACSRF and PCSRF. PACSRF doesn't seem to recognize that limiting factors can be defined as any factor, which our definition, and I think the general scientific definition, is that it's any factor, living and non-living, that limits the growth or potential of a species or an ecosystem. We believe that PACSRF should be available to restore the stocks that are collapsing in our region, as well as the ESA-listed stocks, that there be equal footing. And that they broaden the priority beyond habitat restoration, as we see it and have been working within it for some time. So if salmon in our regions are provided or needed and necessary for a food security crisis that we are in and we have been in for many years, are deemed as a lower priority based on what we understand the narrow application of priority one to be, and just for the record, we receive less than 1% of current PACSRF dollars to address impacts across a third of the state of Alaska. I don't think we can continue under this structure and pretend that we are working to protect, assess, and restore the stocks in our regions. So We're looking for prioritization of stocks that are critical food source for subsistence dependent and indigenous communities. We believe that tribes should be allowed a higher percentage for program implementation, as there is currently a 3% limit for administration and or indirect cost recovery. I absolutely understand the reasoning behind that. What I cannot work within is a program that doesn't support the program we're trying to implement. And when I say program, I mean a research and restoration plan that took years to establish with guidance from a committee of the National Research Council that guides what projects we fund, what priorities exist, and it's our roadmap for how to bring these stocks back from the decline, the precipitous decline that they are in. We believe there should be a funding floor for tribal entities, and we did work with the Alaska delegation in an attempt to level the playing field where we believe PACSERF's intentions were designed for. We also believe that there needs to be an improvement within the process for evaluating applications. The current, and I'm going to put air quotes because around competitive, because the current competitive process has a very strong peer review process, which evaluates and scores proposals. And then those scores and evaluations are then passed to a separate group that makes award decisions. Whether we consolidate these groups or create an independent advisory body to ensure that there is an objective process, we do think it needs to be revisited. I guess that's kind of the sum of what I want to say. And I guess in summary, the people in these regions cannot live and cannot maintain their culture and cannot raise their children without salmon. Thank you.
Thank you, Karen. That was very clear. I appreciate the comments. Shirley, before we move on, I just wanted to, before we go to the next caller, do you have a tally of how many callers we have left? Are you there, Shirley?
Yep. I was getting the name. The next one comes from Gus White. Your line is open.
Hi, is that, did you mean to say Seth White? Is that me? I'm not sure if anybody can hear me here.
Seth, I can hear
you. Okay, thanks, yeah. Sorry, after that last comment, this is gonna seem like a very technocratic comment, so I won't ask for any answer. I'll just make sure it gets on the record. This is a comment about the interaction between tribes and intertribal organizations in obtaining funding. Because I noticed that that theme was raised in each of the questions that you had for the topic areas. So intertribal orgs are meant to serve the needs of their member tribes. So obviously setting up a funding mechanism that prevents competition is very important. However, because intertribal organizations sometimes have additional capacity and are providing services to those tribes, I don't think it would serve the tribes to exclude the intertribal partners. And I don't know the best solution because I've seen several attempts to get around the problem, but with various success. For example, I've seen Department of Interior funding theoretically available to tribes left on the table because a tribe may not have the capacity to apply for the funding and the intertribal orgs are excluded. So one solution for discussion, just as an example, is to allow the intertribal organizations to access funding, but only if they've demonstrated support from the tribes that they serve. They show demonstrated support. So I guess I'm just bringing this up to say I hope the team considers the nuance very carefully, and I can offer to check in with the tribal leaders that we serve and offer additional comments over email.
Great. Thanks, Seth.
Thank you. There's no comments at this time, but again, if you'd like to make a comment, please press star one. Again, that is star one. Thank you.
Okay, so still plenty of time left, so leave it open for a bit longer and see if anybody else has comments they want to say over the phone. Again, if you don't, maybe we can put up the email link again if you want to submit written comments for us to answer on that. That would be great. So if somebody can maybe queue that up really quick. And yeah, Shirley, let us know if anybody else pops in there, but we can show this for now.
There are two more comments, sir. First comes from Jennifer Hagen. Your line is open.
Okay.
Thank you. Hello again. So I was looking through the questions that you've asked for input on, and I wanted to return to the Regional Ocean Partnership category. And question number three is about what types of activities related to ocean resource management. And I think it's really important to understand when I was talking about the momentum that the West Coast Ocean Alliance has achieved as a regional ocean partnership. You know, we've been watching what's been going on in the Northeast region with offshore energy development, and we're starting to see it knocking on our doors here, specifically in Northern California and Oregon. Some things look like they might be happening off the Southwest Washington coast. And this is a whole new ballpark for everybody, at least in the Northwest, having offshore energy and trying to figure out how we're going to have all these compatible new uses on the ocean and still support sustainable fisheries. And to achieve understanding of that balance, we're going to need information and analysis, and questions will need to be answered. And so right now there's the policy where those companies specific to offshore development, companies that are looking to lease areas are not footing the bill for what it costs us as managers to respond, understand, then you add the further complication of tribal fisheries, treaty off-reservation fisheries cannot move. And so that is a huge complication that eventually may have to be dealt with as well. So just to let you all know that we are thinking about these things, both in the Alliance forums and here at home in LaPush. Thank you.
Thank you, Jennifer. That's exactly the kind of input we need on the issues to address through this program.
Thank you. Our next comment comes from Gerald James. Your line is open.
Yeah, you're asking all the questions of us, and obviously, a lot of us aren't real happy with the current system. And but what I would ask, and probably won't be able to respond right away, but what's your report card on the success of what you're doing in the system that you have? Not that any one of you is responsible for everything that's been done, but there needs to be an evaluation of what success is. The other piece, I guess, more directly answerable is, what's your timeline for responding to the issues that have come up, and how is that going to proceed?
Thank you,
I might be off base. I mean, I think the comment period for this particular thing, I mean, the comment period closes on March 22nd, but in regards to the report card, I'm going to go ahead and take the mulligan and say, I haven't been here long enough to know exactly what classes you're talking about, but maybe Barry or Carrie could elaborate a bit more. So,
yeah, I guess I'm looking at the report card of where is salmon? Obviously, what we're doing is supposed to be addressing that issue, and we're not being very successful on many, many, many fronts. So what is being done to assess the, you know, what do you change if we're almost extinct? That's, I guess, the base question. Not do we continue doing what we've been doing. Obviously, that isn't working. How do you move forward and change something that's obviously not working? Hard question, and I don't expect an answer on that right away, but if we're giving you comments now, the time frame for getting back with some kind of what's your thoughts on if you're going to change anything or if it's continuing on with what's been happening and how that process works, or I guess getting back to us on that.
No, I for myself, I mean, I think it gives us some good things to think about. And I, you know, as my first moderation for NOAA, I think what I'm, you know, that this is a listening session, and that I guess my observation is, direct consultation with the tribes would be held in a different forum and not in front of other tribes. So I think that's why I'm having trouble answering. So, we have that logged down, and so we'll take that back. And I do appreciate the comment.
Thank you.
Yeah, Zach, Rick Spinrad, if I can make one quick comment on that. I think that's a critical issue, the whole set of performance metrics, outcomes, indicators of success, all of that. That is an extremely important point for the whole of the Infrastructure Act, and I've been having exactly that discussion with the Secretary. That we can't give you a pat answer to that right now, as your question indicates, Gerald, but I can tell you that the question is one that we are struggling with right now. And so I think part of it boils down to how much we will expect the individual project definitions to include the kind of performance metrics that they think are most appropriate, that the folks who are carrying out the activities think are most appropriate. There's levels of indicators specific to a project, but then on the more on the larger strategic level, which I think is what you're alluding to. So a point well taken, one that is getting a lot of attention at the highest levels and is actually quite relevant to the full $1.2 trillion infrastructure bill that Congress passed a couple of months ago. So thank you for the input.
Yeah, I'm really concerned that we're really good chameleons. We can, on a project level, make things look really good. But on a collective level, obviously that isn't working. So that's the piece where we need a bigger picture here that we're all accountable for. So thanks.
Thank you. Shirley, do we have any other folks in the queue?
Yes, sir. Next comment comes from Albert Smith. Your line is open.
Thank you, Albert Smith, Mayor of Metlakatla, Alaska. I apologize, I had some technical difficulties getting on the WebEx, so I missed a bunch, and then when I got connected, I couldn't get the audio to
to work, so I had to use the call-in line. Will there be some notes or whatever you guys will share with all of us after? And so we could get caught up on what was... I hear a lot of good questions coming out, but that's all I have. Thanks.
Yeah, the call's being recorded. We have folks taking notes from a couple different places. So, yeah, there will be a log of this afterwards. And if you didn't hear the email that's up on the screen now, if you can see that, I guess if those that are just calling in, I should make sure that you understand what that email is. So if you're just calling in, written responses can be submitted to infrastructure.tribal@noaa.gov. And you know, please put in the chat if you want us to, or I guess again, if you're on the phone, email us and we can get you that. But Shirley, do we have any other comments?
Not at this time. Again, if you would like to make a comment, that's *1. Thank you.
Okay, and I kind of rambled through that. So one more time, if you are just on the phone and not looking at the PowerPoint, the written responses, if you want to submit something to us, that's infrastructure.tribal@noaa.gov. So infrastructure.tribal, T-R-I-B-A-L, at NOAA, N-O-A-A.gov, G-O-V.
Next comment comes from Jennifer Hagen. Your line is open.
I'm back. Thank you for this opportunity. Since nobody was in the queue, I thought I'd fill in the void here. So on the fish passage restoration, I like the way that you're thinking as far as these cooperative agreement with NOAA staff who have expertise. We find that, you know, we've got a lot of culverts, for example, or other barriers that we've identified through the years, and sometimes there isn't quite enough money to do them unless they're a really big one. We have big ones and little ones, but it's often with a small government like Quileute Tribe is, the number of staff you have in the areas of expertise can be something that limits you, and having access to other experts that you can work on throughout a program or a project to remove fish passage barriers would be really handy, I think, because then we don't have to go out and hire somebody to fill that part. We can work with NOAA on it. So just wanted to say I really like item number 2 under that you're thinking that way. Grants are always a challenge. You know, we all would like set asides and not have to compete against each other. But, you know, this is a good step forward. Thank you.
Jennifer.
Thank you. Next comment comes from Laura Previn. Your line is open.
Hello. Sorry, I think much of my comment/question was from the last person who spoke accidentally. So, yeah, our tribe does not have a large number of employees, and oftentimes there are quite a few. Sorry. I apologize. I'm a fisheries biologist for the Chicxulub Native Village in Alaska, and my question is about all these small fish passage projects that it would be awesome to work on in the Matanuska River watershed and surrounding areas. Oftentimes, those seem to be done by DOT or the borough. So I guess this is... the comment would be that oftentimes it can be difficult to know which projects they are working on, both those entities as well as the Army Corps of Engineers, due to multiple reasons, one of which is just that it's sometimes really difficult to communicate to all the different groups that need to be communicated with, such as tribes, for their consultation. And the other thing would be, do you have any recommendations or feedback for working with these entities on, you know, basically construction projects that maybe we have less expertise than they do, but the funding would be coming with us if we applied for it? Like, what kind of cooperation would you guys like to see in order to award funding with these organizations? And I guess any feedback on that sort of thing, because that's going to be a challenge
for us and our short staff situation. But thank you very much.
Thank you. Again, if you would like to ask or make a comment, it's star one. Again, star one. At this time, there's no more comments in queue.
I'll jump in there real quick on that last comment. I appreciate the examples that you gave of where things work for you and where you find things challenging. I think we can incorporate that into what we're thinking. So thanks very much for the comment.
Our next comment comes from Gerald James. Your line is open.
Yeah, I guess in another, some of you are familiar with what happened up in the South Fork this last year, and there's no mechanism to address it. If it wasn't for Nooksack and Lummi screaming at the top of our lungs, we wouldn't even have got empathy. So, when we have an endangered species listed stock and 25 of 100 of them die in low water and high temperature, and there's not a single response from the feds or the state. It's only the tribes that have yelled and screamed, and we're trying to find resources to address it. And it's, we just get funneled to the system that exists. And I just don't know where do we turn when that's the kind of system that we've got. Just basically begging for some assessment of the processes that exist. Whoever created them and whoever's following them, I'm not looking for to point at Barry since he's leaving. Say, look, what we're doing isn't working. We need assessment. Not just how do we figure out how do we squeeze this in? Given the circumstances that exist, and it's not just the Nooksack. There are several of the systems that are in the same shape, and it just seems like looking. And, whether that's in Alaska or on the coast or inside Puget Sound, this system isn't working for us. And I'd like to see a team put together to do some thinking about how do we fix it. Thanks.
Gerald.
Thank you. Our next comment comes from Mike Crewson. Your line is open.
You there, Mike? We're not hearing him, Shirley.
Is your line muted, sir? Can you try unmuting your phone?
That might have been it. Can you hear me now?
We can hear Hello? You now.
Okay, I'm sorry about that.
No problem.
Yeah, I've
Go
had
for
trouble
it.
Connecting, too. I was wanting to ask specifically about these different funding types that you list here, like the PACSER funds and the last one, the Regional Ocean Partnership funds, given what our concerns are. But we're trying to our big they talk a lot about tribal priorities here, and I'm with Tulalip tribes in Puget Sound, but we have ocean and coastal management concerns and issues about, like, with the marine survival of our salmon, for instance. And we're coordinating collaborative sampling throughout Puget Sound right now, and we call it Ocean and Coastal Management is the name of the funding source under it. But for that particular one, for the Regional Ocean Partnership funds, under there they talk about the West Coast Ocean Alliance. And when I looked that up, because I didn't even haven't even heard of it before, I realized that the coastal tribes are on that. Is that just for coastal tribes then, or what? Because the things that they described were, you know, we have ocean and coastal, the whole marine survival issue that we're concerned about is ocean and coastal management. But is that for coastal tribes?
Can you comment on that, please?
Absolutely. Yeah. So that would be for tribes working through. So in the example that you gave, working through the West Coast Ocean Alliance. So in coordination with them. So I wouldn't necessarily say that it would just be limited to tribes that are specifically coastal, but it is related specifically to coastal and ocean management issues and priorities.
Thank you. Was
there a second portion to your question, Mike, about Pacific Salmon Coast Recovery Fund before we move on? Okay, I'm not hearing that. I think we can go ahead and go to the next one, Shirley.
Again, if you'd like to make a comment, that's star one. Again, that's star one. At this time, there's no comments in queue.
And yeah, just a quick time check. It is 2:05 Pacific time, so it would be 1:05 Alaska time, and getting kind of late there on the East Coast. But yeah, we have about a half hour left. So still plenty of time for comments. We'll leave the line open. And Shirley, I'll probably just give it about another minute or two, and if nobody else pops in, then we can go ahead and maybe consider wrapping it up for the day.
Yes, sir.
Folks, give it a think if there's anything else that they want to ask. I mean, this is, like, you know, from how I understand this and reading the room, and again, being a relative newbie to NOAA, you know, this is probably, you know, the earliest that they've done one of these consultations for, you know, this type of funding, from what I understand. So, again, to reemphasize that, you know, this is not the last conversation we want to have about this. It's the first. So there will be other opportunities in the future. We will be providing, you know, the comments that were received from today at a later date once we keep on getting them, so folks will be able to access that. Anything else, Shirley?
Yes. Next comment comes from Albert Smith. Your line is open.
Okay.
Thank you. Albert Smith from Metlakatla Indian Community in Alaska. I was just curious if you guys could email us the PowerPoint. As I had to dial in, I couldn't get the audio on the WebEx to work. So if you could email the PowerPoint out to everybody on the line there, and along with the questions and answers, the notes would be greatly appreciated, and thanks for putting this together, and we'll look forward to the next one, and hopefully we could figure out the technical difficulties of trying to get the audio on the WebEx. So thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Albert. And for those that aren't aware, this PowerPoint's actually on the website. I wonder if we can put that into the chat maybe. I don't have that at my disposal at the moment, but maybe somebody can throw that in the chat for those that are at least on the WebEx piece can find that. Oh, just correction, it will be on the website, and they're doing it right now, so my apologies. Shirley, are there any other comments or folks in the queue?
Yes, sir. Next comment comes from Gerald James. Your line is open.
Yeah. I just realized that I don't see a PowerPoint. I can see all of you guys, but I don't see a PowerPoint. But I guess I'm trying to follow up with Mike's question. I think was based on, can inside tribes participate in that group, the West Coast Ocean group? What's the rules around that group? Not that we need another group to be involved in. That I think was his question.
So we can follow up separately on that one. Thank you.
Thanks, Keelan.
Thank you. There are no comments at this time.
Okay, well, I'm going to leave it open for at least another few more minutes. We've got about 20 minutes left before we hit the time we had allocated for this, but if we end early, that's okay too. And again, just to reemphasize that there's still time for written responses, and the comment period for this closes on March 22nd, 2022. And if you arrived really late to the meeting, if you were trying to figure out how to make a comment verbally, it's star one, just in case. And sort of outside of the provisions, maybe, comments also, if folks have other types of platforms they think might be more helpful for you as tribes to access these sort of discussions, please feel to let us know what those are in anything submitted in writing. Appreciate that. Anybody in the queue, Shirley?
Two more. Next comes from Mike Krusen. Your line is open.
Sorry about that. Yes, thank you. Mr. James was correct. That's what I was asking about, because the issues that we have that were described under that item, but also in under the PACSURF item, we're about tribal priorities and about what we need to do right now, but we need to be able to coordinate and establish monitoring programs and whatnot so we understand what these effects are from climate change in ocean and coastal resources. We're on the ocean, we're just in Puget Sound. I'm not saying that it's an emphasis on coastal, but I believe there is collaboration that needs to be set up that can include all of the coastal tribes that are already doing this type of work. So we've talked about it in the tribal resilience and ocean and coastal management, like out in Forks, and discussed this kind of monitoring. But it's a need that we have, and I'm not sure where we should be trying to look for those funds if they're not really intended for monitoring marine effects in Puget Sound and on the coast, because their fish go out there for 99% of their growth. So they're not only in Puget Sound, but we all have an interest in this. And I don't know exactly where to look for this, because we're trying to coordinate a Puget Sound-wide program right now. And so if there are funds coming down the pike, like which ones aren't for that, I guess, is what I'm asking, because this is a top priority for us.
Keelan, I wasn't sure if you had anything to add on to that one.
Can you still hear me?
I don't. Yes. Yeah, we can. So we'll follow up with you separately on that and make sure that we're directing kind of in the right direction here in terms of the funds that are available under the infrastructure bill. I think
yeah,
it might be
I would
to have an offline conversation. Yeah.
to that Jennifer who's on with Quileute, is that one of the coastal tribes that participates in the West Coast Ocean Alliance? And
yeah.
What do you can you say anything about other tribes participating in that, or you know, collaborating with you guys to get something done about marine survival issues? Is it only for coastal tribes?
Not necessarily, but it is again around the broader set of coastal issues. So I think it would be good for you to coordinate and talk with some of our folks that are more directly involved with the West Coast Ocean Alliance and the West Coast tribes for this program, and we can figure out how to make sure that connection is happening if it isn't already. So we will definitely follow up with you, Mike. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you. Our next comment comes from Jennifer Hagen. Your line is open.
Good afternoon again. Since I'm circling back around to your questions, under Pacific Coast Salmon Recovery Fund, question number four, are there ways to determine allocations between tribes and tribal organizations? And for us in the Northwest, we have the Northwest Indian Fisheries Commission, of which all the 22 treaty tribes in Washington State are a member of, and we have a policy in place where they don't compete for funds with us, but we also decide collectively, the tribes will decide if there's something that we want funding to go to the commission on. So I imagine CRFIC and some of the other tribal organizations have some kind of safeguards like that in place. And on the funding also, I think the real challenge here when we're talking about salmon recovery is that we have a lot of populations that are listed, species ESA listed, and all that comes with that. And then there's situations like what we have here this morning. The reason I was late on the call is we were having a very hard conversation with amongst our fish committee about closing our steelhead fishery and what our returns are looking like. And we do not have any listed species in our watershed, but we are looking at diminishing returns. And so being able to put some of our investment towards populations that are not already listed is something that NOAA is going to have to hopefully balance. And just wanted to put a plug in for that. Thank you.
Thank
Jennifer.
You. Our next comment comes from Carrie Ivory. Your line is open.
Might be on mute, Carrie.
Hello?
Oh, yeah, we can hear you. There you are. Go ahead.
Hi, my name is Carrie Ivory, and I'm the administrator for Native Village of Yuzinki. And we have some pretty serious connectivity issues here in Yuzinki. We're a rural village off of Kodiak Island. And I'm wondering if there's going to be some kind of a recap of what was discussed during this meeting, because I got kicked out on my phone three times and I was unable to connect via computer at all. So I missed a great deal of the discussion.
Yeah, there will be a summary of these listening sessions. They're going to post the transcripts from the calls on the NOAA Legislative Intergovernmental Affairs Tribal Resources webpage. And we can have somebody follow up with you, Carrie, and make sure that you have the correct link to that. But yeah, answer your question is yes. A summary will be provided, and there'll be a post of the transcripts.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate it. I felt so bad because I kept trying on the computer, finally did the call in, and then I got on and listened for like 15 minutes, and it kicked me out, and then I couldn't get back on. So yeah, I basically missed half of it, but. Thank you for letting me know there will be a summary.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. But
not your fault. It's one of our greatest needs in rural Alaska is internet, stable internet, and we're not there yet. So, but thank you. really appreciate all of the information I have gotten during this teleconference.
No, thank you. And we'll try to touch base with the other parts of Department of Commerce that might be handling broadband on that stuff. Any other comments from the queue, Shirley?
No. Thank
Next
you.
Next one comes from Gerald James. Your line is open.
Yeah, it seems it hasn't come up. I got to bring this piece up. It doesn't do us any good for us to come up with our greatest plans and our priorities if NOAA sets what its priorities are and they don't meet our priorities. For example, if habitat ranks high amongst NOAA's view of the world, but it's not where we need the resources spent. We can apply for all the grants we want and waste our time spending it there if it's not going to rank and going to get funded. We've wasted our time. So there's a dual process going on here where we're looking at what our needs are for our system. NOAA's looking at it from a different set of perspectives, and they're not meeting, so we're missing in the night here. So something needs to be done to address the differences there, because like I mentioned before, we don't have the resources to go spend the amount of time it takes to put together a good proposal, and it just be ranked where it won't get funded. So we need to be on the same page. Thank you.
Thank you, Gerald.
Thank you. There are no questions on queue, on comments in queue at this time.
Okay, there's 9 minutes left, so do what we did last time and give it another minute or so. Maybe folks just need to think a bit harder, and if there's one last question they want to ask, don't forget to press star one and you'll pop up in the queue. So let's give it a minute.
I actually have one, sir. Comes from Karen Gillis. Your line is open.
All right.
There have been a couple of thanks again for hosting this session and allowing us to speak on all of these issues and opportunities. And I wanted to kind of piggyback off of a couple of previous comments. And that's that we had a little bit of a struggle with the first question, which is, are there modifications or refinements needed to increase accessibility to these funds? And it goes on, because we didn't exactly know what accessibility meant, but to us, where we are incessantly, and not just through PACSER, but in so many ways, chronically underfunded, my first thought was expertise, capacity to build strong applications, like a previous person said. And it's not that we don't believe our application is strong. It's just we have a very basic lack of financial stability for these kinds of things. And we will remain underfunded because it's just a bigger problem outside of PCSRF. But I wanted to ask, just I don't need to say anything more, but what it really meant, what that question really meant. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next comment comes from Gerald James. Your line is open.
Just wondering, there just seemed to be no response to that. Does NOAA feel that they set different priorities than the tribes, and is that an issue in your mind?
I mean, I think that's a good question, Gerald, but I think folks came here specifically to talk about the three provisions of the infrastructure bill. I mean, that, I think, again, like what I said earlier, I think that was one that, you know, that's, I think, you know, for example, Barry, I think Barry's heading to the Puget Sound tomorrow. That's kind of more of on the, you know, the tribal to NOAA conversation. But, you know, at this point, I don't have a good answer for you, and I'm not sure other folks do either. So.
Well, I hope that there's some analysis of the system and that there's some response to that, because that's what we're experiencing, that we don't rank very high if we do monitoring and assessment of the success of a project. It doesn't rank. And if we don't know whether what we're doing is actually functioning, it's almost worthless. We can't follow up with a project, so we're left in the blind as to whether what we did work or didn't work, and how do we adjust if it didn't, or how do we do more of if it did work. So that's the kind of cycle that we're in here. So thanks.
Hey, Zach, this is Rick Spinnard. I feel the need to weigh in because I think there's an underlying set of questions that are really crucial with respect to how we are moving forward strategically. And I would just say, you know, I want to roger up and let everybody on the call know. I certainly hear that. We are moving out in our tribal consultations in a way we've never done before. So that's a good news and a bad news story, right? It means we're recognizing the need to do this more formally, in a more forward-leaning fashion. We've never had a position, literally, the position that Zach is filling now is a new position. So part of this is us learning how to do this right, how to do consultations right, how to have a sustained, strategically aligned dialogue. There's been great work regionally. Certainly, Barry, for example, has been working these issues on behalf of NOAA for quite some time. But I want to assure you, in my capacity as NOAA administrator, that part of this, arguably, we're here to talk about the three provisions that were called out by Congress in the infrastructure bill. But there are some really fundamental issues that you are bringing up in your questions. We're not saying we're not going to answer those. What we are saying is, that's important in the grand scheme of how we move forward in our tribal relations, tribal consultations. So please understand, I'm listening carefully. I hear you. We don't have immediate answers for some of the bigger strategic issues, but I assure you we are taking these comments on board.
Thank you. There are no comments in queue at this time.
Yeah, and thanks for that, Dr. Spinrad. That was helpful for me as well. We have about 3 minutes left, so I'm going to leave it open one more minute. I know it might not be enough time to get a full comment in, but so I think there might be a few of us who could stay on longer if another comment does come in. But just let me know if anybody pops up in the queue, Shirley.
Yes, sir.
But I already covered some of this. You know, as we wait, you know, if there are more questions in the line, we can stick around a bit longer. But you know, for the next steps of comments, you know, we're committed to providing a summary of these listening sessions for those that either got kicked off or came in late. You know, those transcripts from the calls will be posted on the NOAA Legislative Intergovernmental Affairs Tribal Resources webpage. And yeah, we intend to release a summary of the comments we receive and, you know, how we'll consider those comments on our execution of these three provisions. So that's where we're at with this. And again, the comment period closes on March 22nd. How are we doing, Shirley?
There's another comment, sir. Again, it comes from Gerald James. Your line is open.
All right.
Thanks. I've told Barry many times, we do appreciate the efforts that you as individuals put forward, and appreciate the
comments about that these will be being looked at. And just to, as several others have mentioned, our people are in dire stress. And we're acting out in that context of trying to get the system moving to address not 100 years from now, not 50 years from now, but tomorrow, to meet the needs of our people that were guaranteed by treaty. So that's the context in which I'm, as Barry often grimaces about, I'm really harsh because my people are harsh on me and all of us that are involved in natural resources. So I'm none of this is aimed at any individual, and it's not any of one of you's fault. I'm not looking for blame. I'm looking for solutions and for you guys to be bold in making those solutions available. So thank you very much for listening. And as usual, I talk way too much, but I'm too old to stop. Thanks.
Yeah, I appreciate it. One more check, Shirley. Do we have anybody else in the queue?
Not at this time, sir.
Okay. Well, it's 2:30 Pacific time, so if folks have anything else they'd want to submit, there is a way to do that by writing your response into infrastructure.tribal@noaa.gov. Comment period closes on March 22nd, 2022. I personally want to thank everybody for attending today. Really appreciate it. I'm not sure, I guess maybe offer it up to either Carrie, Barry, Keelan, or Dr. Spinrad if you want to offer any closing comments.
Just thank you.
Well, I can't help myself, Zach. I'll just say a quick word. First of all, for those of you who had trouble accessing the system, the platform, rest assured I did as well. And I'm the administrator of this organization. So you're in with many of us. There's some lessons we've learned with respect to technology from this. Thank you for bearing with that. Let me just briefly say, really appreciate the quality and the candor of your comments and input. It's been extremely valuable for me to hear it, and I would like to think it's going to help us move forward. Again, as I said at the start, I look forward to this as the start of the dialogue that I think is so critical in the kind of success we are all alluding to in our comments. And with that, Zach, I'll throw it right back to you to close this out.
Great. Thank you, Dr. Spinrad. Okay, well, I think that's it. Thank you all for attending today, and look for the summary and the synopsis at a date coming soon. So, katsiaoya. Thank you.
That does conclude today's conference. You may disconnect at this time, and thank you for joining.